Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It was a big weekend specifically for the Devils and the Rangers. And now the offseason is upon us. And joining us right now is EJ Raddick to talk about it. EJ, Joe, and Evan, how you been?
EJ, how are you?
I'm good, guys. Good.
How are you?
How are you guys doing?
Oh, man. Not as good as you, EJ. Let me tell
you. Hey, at least I don't have to. At least I don't have to follow Mickey Callaway around.
There you go.
That's
a good thing. That's a good thing.
What did you think, first of all? I mean, because we knew for a while what the Devils and Rangers are going to do 1-2 in this draft. What did you think about the swoop in and dealing for PK Subban? If you're the Devils,
yeah, that's some deal, man.
Well, it was. I thought it was a great move by the Devils. I mean, the first and foremost, the thing I like about it is there's 3 years left on his contract, and he's 30 years old. It'll take him to, 33. So it's a good window of time to have him. He still should be able to be performing at a high level during that deal. Yeah, it's a $9 million hit, but the Devils have a lot of cap room. He slides right in as their top pair right shot guy, moves Vatanen back a slot, moves Severson back a slot where they can be more effective. You know, hockey in their lineup, it's always about slotting guys in the right spot. So really great from that standpoint. And like I said, I love the term. And then you think about someone who can, PK Subban is a big personality. And, there might be times that he could wear people out. And that's something that, they have to be concerned about. But the reality is this is a franchise that, despite the fact they've won 3 Stanley Cups in their history, they've been to, I think it's 5 finals, and they've had some great, great players, there hasn't been that kind of pizzazz personality within their group for the most part. So, he's going to, reinvigorate that franchise in Newark, and he brings a lot to the table. And for the league in general to have a personality that big in the New York tri-state area, I think is something that's going to be really good. So, does he come in? Do you guarantee that they're going to be a Stanley Cup contender just because he's here? No, but he's a big upgrade over what they had, and I think he's something that could be really important for that franchise moving forward.
How good is this kid Hughes that went number one overall?
Really good. He's a great skater. I mean, that's the thing. He's a dynamic skater, great offensive player, likes to push the pace, likes to attack the net, makes his line mates better. He's got a high ceiling for sure. I think that, at the early going here, he's not the biggest kid. In a perfect world, I wouldn't mind seeing him go play a year at college hockey like his brother did and kind of continue to get bigger and stronger. But when you're the number one overall pick, that just doesn't happen anymore. And he's going to be able to come and play in the league. So don't get me wrong when I say that. I just, in terms of, he's a young man, and it would be terrific if it would be a situation where he could have another year to develop. But, he's going to come in. He's going to be a really effective player. He's going to be fun to watch. I think he could be, maybe a 60-point guy if he stays healthy in his first year. But I think you're looking at someone that's going to be a 100-plus point guy when he really kind of gets his feet wet in this game and, continues to grow and develop physically, mentally, and understands what it takes to do things in the National Hockey League. Comes from a great family. That's a lot of, obviously, big-time hockey background there. The mother, Ellen, was a 3-sport athlete at the University of New Hampshire and was a terrific hockey player. The father played college hockey at Providence. Obviously, Quinn is in the league now, Jack, and he's got another younger brother that looks like he's going to be a really good hockey player as well. So, I think he's a lot of upside and a terrific opportunity and terrific pick for the Devils.
And for the next decade, maybe more, there are going to be arguments between Ranger fans and Devil fans and comparisons between Kaapo Kakko and Jack Hughes. Was this a difficult decision, giving Hughes the edge, or is this, it was easy that Hughes is the way to go? Give me your view on that decision, because to me, there's more pressure on New Jersey. The Rangers were just sitting there saying, we'll take the guy who's sitting there. We'll take the guy who's given to us.
Yeah, I think that was the case, and where there was more pressure on the Devils to make the selection, and Kakko has been someone that has he's really impressed this year in his draft year. He's a big guy. He's ready to play in the National Hockey League physically right now. He played in the Finnish men's league over there, so he's used to that. He's won at everything he's done. I mean, he's a winner at U18 when he was in that a couple of years back. He was a winner at the World Juniors this year, scored a goal late against Team USA for that winning gold medal winning effort. He was at the World Championships this year playing, again, in a men's tournament, as was Hughes. The difference was Hughes was playing on the U.S. team where they had a lot of really high-end NHL-type players. I mean, Patrick Kane was on that team, Johnny Gaudreau, really high-end players. And in Kako's case, he was on a Finnish team where I don't know if there might have been one or two NHL players on that team. Now, in the end, they ended up winning the gold medal, and Kako was really good in that tournament, particularly early in the tournament. But I think, you know, people saw that. They see his size, and I think the gap closed a little bit. A lot of the scouts, you know, they like both players, but they weren't in the position. You know, you ask them about the players, and you know, they weren't in a position to have to make a decision. So the Devils had to make the decision. I think they made the right decision. Time will tell as you move forward. I think both players are going to be great players. It's going to be great for hockey in the New York area to see both these guys grow and develop. You know, and for Ranger fans, Kako to me is just like he's cut out of the same cloth as Mikko Rantanen in with the Avalanche. And, you know, he's you know, a terrific, terrific player, an 80, 90, 100-point guy out there. And a big-bodied guy, and he's going to be able to create traffic or create chaos physically in the game. And one other thing, guys, about that first and second thing, and the Devils having to choose. A couple years ago, they were in the same boat. It was Nico Hischier, and it was Patrick. It was the Patrick kid who ended up with the Flyers. Flyers were sitting where the Rangers were. The Devils picked Hischier. I think they made the right pick then. Patrick has taken a little more time to develop. Hischier's been a really good player. But in that draft, the 3, 4, and 5 players also ended up being very good. And you could make a case that any of those guys should have been number one. Guys like Cale Makar went to Colorado, Miro Heiskanen went to Dallas, and Elias Pettersson, who just won the Rookie of the Year, he went to Vancouver at 5. So it is a little bit of a, you know, it's a guessing game sometimes with these kids as they develop, but I think Hughes and Kako are the real deal, and I think the Rangers and Devils will both be thrilled.
We're going to try to get you on a new line because it does sound like there are aliens attacking.
Like sounds like there's glitches in the phone.
Yeah, it sounded like there was a UFO attacking. Right. But this is a very interesting time because both the Devils and the Rangers add the top pick. They trade for a defenseman.
Yep.
One is the 25-year-old Trouba, who they also have to sign, but I think they will. I don't think they're making the deal for him if they weren't comfortable about signing him. And obviously, the Devils make that splashy move. And he's right. The Devils, as good as they've been over the years, have never had that big personality.
Nope.
That big star. Because Subban's a star. Yeah. People know who he is.
So well, they had stars, but they were never guys that were dynamic. Brodeur and Stevens. I mean, these guys just
personality
weren't,
stars,
they weren't like dynamic guys.
Yeah, I mean, Marty's one of the greatest goalies of all time.
Well yeah,
but
of course.
But from the aspect of kind of breaking through like that, it's rare. Hopefully this line is better. Sorry, EJ, about
that. That's okay. Oh, I hope it's better
great.
As well.
It does.
Yeah. Okay.
Where do things stand right now with Andersley? Because there seems to now be a habit of the Islanders losing their captain. What are you hearing about this right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, that's not a good habit to get into.
No.
I think what's happened is that they've come to a little bit of an impasse on term. You know, obviously, I mean, I think that's the bigger impasse, but also, I think what's happening is that Lou Lamoriello has got an idea or a plan of something he wants to do here. I mean, Lou is going to be 77 in October. He's not looking for any rebuild or any long-term, you know, kind of plan. He's looking to try to get better right now. So I think the Islanders are trying to get into the mix for Artemi Panarin, for example. I think, who knows, maybe they're going to come up with some kind of offer sheet for Mitch Marner or one of these other, you know, really talented UFA players. I mean, in San Jose, you know, the Meyer kid out there is a really good player. San Jose's up against the cap. So there's a number of those really good RFAs this year, and maybe Lou has some sort of idea to get in on those players as well. So I think they love Andersley. Andersley loves it there. I think, you know, right now they're at this impasse over really more term than dollars, obviously a combination of both. But I think what Lou is looking at is, I want to see if I can execute on some of these other things, and then I can go back to Lee. The worry there is that Lee is obviously going to go out now and talk to other teams, and maybe Andersley ends up leaving because he didn't want, you know, he couldn't come to an agreement. So I think that's where it's at. But I wouldn't, you know, with Lou Lamoriello, I mean, he runs the teams like, you know, he's like one of the head of the five families. I mean, you don't know nothing with Lou, but he's got a plan of some sort. We'll see how it plays out.
EJ Raddick with us talking hockey. All right, let's talk about the Rangers situation. I mean, you mentioned making the trade for the defenseman. Obviously, Kako is there. What about them going after Panarin, and what are they going to do with Chris Kreider? Are they going to trade him?
Yeah, well, they're definitely – it's this kind of thing, it's the same thing. I mean, they want to get in on Panarin as well. I mean, I think the Rangers have a great shot. You know, as much as we can tell about Artemi Panarin, he's one of these guys, he's been a wild card. I mean, it's just been hard to figure it out. He's, you know, he doesn't give you a lot of leads. You know, a lot of people have said, well, he's going to go to Florida with Bobrovsky as a package deal, but – the need in Florida is more for the goaltender than for the forward. Now, they could do that and then move one of their forwards out, which creates another set of dominoes. But, you know, he's a wild card. John Davidson certainly knows him. He knows his representation from Colorado. New York would be an attractive place for Panarin to come to. They've made some moves to improve their team, so there's a lot of things to sell right now. But I just think he's a wild card, and I don't know really what's the driving force for Panarin. What's the thing that, you know, what's the one thing that he wants more than anything else? Because he's going to get a lot of money. There's no question about that. So I think the Rangers are in on him. I think the Islanders will be in on him. The Devils probably would love to talk to him. I think everybody would love to talk to him because he's a really good player.
Where does Henrik Lundqvist fit right now at this point? We know they've been rebuilding. They're getting younger. He's not getting any younger. Where does he fit right now?
Well, he's still their starting goalie right now. I mean, I think that he had some really good stretches last year. I think at the end of the year it was more of a struggle. They didn't defend very well in front of him. So, I mean, you can't always blame you know, some of that stuff on him, although Georgiev played very well. Not a ton of pressure on the number two like a kid like Georgiev. He's just trying to play night after night and try to get better. And Benoit Allaire has turned a lot of guys into really good number twos over the years when you think about, you know, Cam Talbot and Antti Raanta, and you know, now Georgiev is kind of finding his way a little bit. So I think we'll see where they are with this, with the accelerated rebuild, who else they're able to sign or trade for. I think, you know, you asked me about Kreider. I think, you know, Kreider's future probably depends on what other things come their way and how they see him fitting. So he's a guy that could be moved if they find some you know, if they retool their roster with some different free agents. But, you know, I think Hank is their goalie right now. I don't see him. I mean, there's been no public discussion of him wanting to leave. He wants, seems like he wants to finish as a Ranger. I think, you know, in the league now, guys, you see goalies split more. So I think whoever's with Hank is going to have to play more games. And, you know, that's kind of where it stands right now.
All right, what about the kid, the kid from Russia, the goaltender from Russia they have?
Yeah,
well, isn't he ready to play now, this kid?
I think that they want to have him come over and play a year in the minors. I think that's what makes sense. I mean, you know, because Georgiev's, you know, kind of emergence has put another thing into the mix. I mean, Shesterkin is the kid you're talking about. He's. I think they would like him to come over and play in Hartford. I think that's something also that's really been a big part of thing, I think, for John Davidson and Chris Drury there and Jeff Gorton and those guys that run the management group, is they want to make that Hartford situation better moving forward. And, you know, I think that it's probably smart to have a guy like that who's played on the big ice, played in Russia, come over and play in Hartford for a year and get that full year at the American League level. So I think there's a good window here for Hank to finish out his career, for Georgiev to continue to grow as the two, for Shesterkin to play in Hartford and then watch how things play out moving forward. But, you know, the goaltending is always, it's always kind of hard to figure out. I mean, just look at the Stanley Cup with, you know, Jordan Binnington, you know, came out of nowhere on January the 3rd or 4th in for the Blues, and they ended up winning the Stanley Cup. So goaltending is something that is something that's always changing, it seems like, in this league.
I know he also has a no-movement clause, so it's not as simple as, hey, just trade Henrik Lundqvist. But would there be a market for him, or does he make too much money, in your view?
Well, he makes a lot of money, and then so I think there would have to be some kind of retention by the Rangers if that day ever came. I mean, you know, there was, you know, a team like the San Jose Sharks, for example, last year. I mean, Marty Jones wasn't very good for them, and you know, that was something that really hurt them. Now they had a bunch of injuries, they lose in the Western Conference Final. The question there, though, is even if Hank were interested, even if the Rangers were interested in moving him, which neither say they are at this point, to be really clear on that, but you'd have to, you know, could you work it out financially? And in San Jose, they're going to be backed up against the cap, and the Rangers would most certainly have to take Marty Jones back. So it would be a tough deal to make. The goalie market is tricky, and we're going to watch that carousel start this week with the Bobrovsky situation. If he ends up in Florida like I anticipate, we'll see, you know, where these other goalies kind of filter in around the league.
How about Hall coming back to the for the Devils after, you know, basically, being injured the entire year last year? How about him, EJ?
Well, listen, he was a terrific player 2 years ago, MVP, career season, going into the final year of his contract, coming off injuries, as you mentioned. I think he and Ray Shiro have a really straightforward relationship, so which is good. I think if I'm the Devils, and this goes for, you know, my feeling on any guy going into the last year of his contract is pretty simple. Is I make my best offer to that player if I want to keep him long term, whatever
right,
that is,
right,
and it's an
right.
8-year term, and you figure out the dollars, and you make that best offer, and you tell the player and his representative, listen, you got 2 weeks, think about it, come back to us, let us know how you feel. If that player comes back and he's perfectly entitled to say, hey, listen, I'm not sure, I want to see where you're going, he can come up with any number of reasons not to sign. At that point, I'm going and I'll start getting my, get the cell phone out and start working on making trades, because if you hold on to that player into the regular season, there's too many bad things that can happen to you, and you could end up losing that player. We don't, you know, we saw it play out with John Tavares,
yep,
losing
yep,
a player for
yep,
nothing. So,
yep, yep.
You know, for me, that's the way I'm handling it, but I would think Taylor Hall would have to be thrilled with the idea of here's Hughes, here's Subban, we're going to go out, the Devils are trying to do a few other things that I'm sure they've kind of kept him apprised of. So that's the way I would handle it. I would not want to go into the season with a player like that where it's a discussion point all year, and then eventually if you have to move him, you move him at, 20 cents on the dollar, or you don't get anything at all.
Leonard's going to resign, right? Robin Leonard will be with the Islanders next year?
Well, I mean, you would think so. But here we are, right? I mean, didn't we go through this when we talked about John Tavares? Everybody said, well, he's going to eventually sign.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, you get closer to July 1st, there's no guarantees of anything. He wants to be an Islander. There's no question about that. But the thing I wonder is, okay, he wants to be an Islander. He had a great season there. Okay, we're sitting here. It's June the 25th, and he's not signed yet. So I guess there is some concern within their group that, moving forward, was this a one-year thing? Is he going to have any problems going forward? Off-ice issues that he seemed to be really on top of last year, and was a real credit to him, and we're hoping that he doesn't have any of those issues moving forward. But again, maybe Lamoriello is looking at it and saying, hey, I want not only Panarin, I want Bobrovsky and Panarin.
Right.
And so I want to hold off on signing Robin Leonard. So again, I go back to Lou, who doesn't say anything about anything, really. He doesn't tell us anything. But he's got plans, and he wants to make the New York Islanders as good as he can make them in the next couple of years. So I guess we'll have to sit and wait.
EJ, it's always a pleasure, my man.
Thank
all right,
EJ.
Thanks, guys.
Take care
of
yourself.
We'll see how it plays out.
Should be interesting.
All right.
EJ Raddick on the NHL offseason.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.